talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, May the 8th, 2026, 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio. Do you want to remind people? We will be live tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m. on this station. And then Matt's show tonight will be on from 10:15 until 11. You won't want to miss that for love nor money. Now, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to give us a buzz. How do you feel about Dave Yost resigning as Attorney General of the state of Ohio, effective in June? How do you feel about the election results that came down Tuesday night? Or how do you feel about anything in general? Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, right around the corner. Not going to be a beautiful weather Mother's Day, it doesn't look like. Going to be a little rough on Sunday.
Well, that's no good.
Well, you'll be in Dayton, right?
On Monday, I think.
On Monday. Well, that's nice. So tell the people again your error with Mother's Day, years ago. For people who might have just been tuning in.
I went to the store, and I bought a three-pack of, I think it was Amazon gift cards. And I gave, and one was supposed to be for my mom, one was supposed to be for my grandma, and one was supposed to be for my aunt. And I had gone to my grandma's house, and my aunt and my grandma were there, so I gave them theirs. And then my cousin's girlfriend, by the way, she's she also has like two kids with my cousin, so she's a mom. So I gave them Mother's Day cards, and then she was just kind of like, you know, looking, and depressed, jealous, whatever word you want to throw in there.
Well, how much were these cards?
$25.
That's not a huge amount.
I didn't say it was massive. I bought
a three-pack
of them.
Well, she seemed sad, apparently.
Well, she didn't get free money.
Okay.
So, I just was like, ah, and then gave her a $25, gave her my the one that was supposed to be for my mom. And then I didn't go buy another gift card.
And your mom is unhappy about this.
Yeah, and, you know, she can just cry about it for the next, like, and if you're the rest of her lifetime, I guess.
Well, that's not a good attitude to have.
Well, I mean, you know, it's been like 4 or 5 years at this point. She's still going on about it, so I don't think it's going to end.
So why do you think that rubbed her the wrong way of all the other things you've done?
Because I got one for my grandma, and I got one for my aunt, and I got one... Well, I didn't get one for my cousin's girlfriend, but she ended up with one.
Now, do you think it genuinely bugs her?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. We'll take that up with her. I didn't get her anything for Mother's Day.
But why didn't you just go back and get a card? The stores are open on Mother's Day. Get another card.
No, that was an extra, like, 30 minutes. I would have had to leave my grandma. Not even 30, because I was at my grandma's house. So I would have had to, like, leave immediately if I wanted it to be 30 minutes. I just got there.
So why didn't you show
it? So it would have been, like, 3-4 hours, and then I would have left, and then I would have gone back to town, and then I would have had to go all the way back to my mom and dad's house. No.
So why did you just not give one to your aunt?
Well, because then she wouldn't have got one. It was for her, my grandma, and my mom.
Right, but you didn't mind slighting your mom, so why not slight the aunt?
Well, it's not
like... See, it's Mother's Day. See, you think your mom would have been number one on that list.
She was. That's what the gift cards were for.
Exactly.
And it just didn't. See, I think she's just selfish.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's not a good trait.
I didn't say it was.
Well, that's not a good thing to call your mother.
Well, I mean, you know, she could always just look at it and said, "Oh, well, you know, you did such a generous thing, and you know that's my Mother's Day gift. You giving generosity on my behalf."
See, that's what you wanted to say.
Yeah, but instead it was you gave all my yeah, and then that was the whole thing, and it has been for like 5 years.
Till you die now.
Yep.
So you made an error.
Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay.
Not with her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not with her. I forget about it every year until she brings it up. Apparently, it just sticks with her.
Well, I think it's the act itself. Because it's Mother's Day. She should have been the first. If you wanted to give the girl a
why
card...
Exactly. Why do you think I bought the gift cards? Because I was like, you know, I think my mom would like a gift card. And then I went to the store and I was like, I'll get my aunt and my grandma right as well.
Exactly. So why not shortchange the grandma or the aunt if you wanted to give one to this girl?
Well, I didn't want to give one to her. I just felt bad that she didn't get one. Because she didn't, you know. I just felt bad.
So why were, I guess my point is, of the three, why was your mom the one you shortchanged?
She wasn't there. That's honestly it. She wasn't at the house. I would have had to go to her house to get her.
So what would you have done if she had been there?
I would have given, well, then my cousin's girlfriend wouldn't get one. I only had
two
cards.
So I don't understand why you felt such pity for this person. If she was not on the list anyway.
It's like eating in front of people. People like food.
You do that all the time.
Well, yeah, but you also have your own food.
Not always. You come dragging food in here on Friday night. You've never offered me any food. You never said, Scott, you want me to grab you some food? Matter of fact, a few weeks ago when you were at the in the line at McDonald's for hours, you didn't say, Scott, you want me to get you something?
It was no hours. Well, it was like 15, 20 minutes.
You got patience with that?
Yeah.
Have you ever said...
It's not like every time I go, I'm parked for 30 minutes.
But have you ever said, do you want me to bring you something? Now, you know I'm here.
Yeah.
And you know I'm not sitting here eating.
You are, usually.
I am not sitting here eating when you come in.
Well, because you already ate.
How do you know?
Well, because there's food in the... Well, not like food, but like a bag in the trash can.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and then I wonder where the bag comes from.
I believe the bag back. So now you need to ask. So you have no problem eating in front of people...
Who already ate.
If you think they already ate.
Well, yes.
How do you know there's not just a cup in there?
Why would they give you a cup and a bag?
I got a huge bag the other day from McDonald's. That big old thing for something small.
Yeah, they do that sometimes. But still, you just got a drink.
And sometimes you brought dessert. You don't say, would you like dessert?
When have I ever brought
dessert? Oh, you bring banana splits in here and things from the Jersey.
I have brought banana splits.
Darn right. Did you ever say, hey, want something?
No.
See, where's that courtesy?
I offer you fries sometimes, and you never take the fries.
I'm not a fan of the fries.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Jeez. 740-383-9944. You're going to have to get in with the social graces.
No.
I always offer you. Like the other night, I said, you want anything to drink? I bought Christian a drink the other night when he was here for election night.
Well, that's nice.
And Terry. And Sean.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah. Write that down.
I do it once in a blue moon, yeah. Sure, why not?
These are important delicacies in life. The social graces are important to learn.
We went to Red Lobster, and I paid for that.
Well, see, now you brought it up. That just...
Oh, well, it didn't do you any good to pay for Sean and Terry and Christian to drink.
No, but they're not here right now. I'm not throwing it in their face.
It's the same thing.
No, they're not here.
Once in a blue moon, yeah, why not?
Wrong.
No.
Yes, you should be kinder. The secret of life is kindness.
Unprompted kindness.
Yeah.
If you prompt me, it's not kind anymore.
No, but I've never prompted you.
To get food?
No, I've never said anything until just now because you brought this up. You offer people.
Hold on now. If I go to our messenger, I guarantee you this is gonna be don't forget the pop.
Pop is not food. Pop is not food.
Well. I mean,
now you're talking about beverage or something different here. But I've never told you to get me any food.
Yeah, that's correct.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm right.
As far as food goes, yes.
That's all I'm saying. What's wrong with that?
With what?
Food.
Well, I don't know what you want.
You gotta ask. You gotta say, I'm going here. Would you like something?
No. No.
See, that's why you get in trouble with people.
You could have just bought your own. Could have been there.
But you just said you think it's rude to eat in front of people.
You have food.
I don't have food when you're eating in front of me.
Yeah, because you already ate it.
Maybe I want more food.
Did you buy me food? Maybe I want more food.
Well, maybe if you were here before me, we'd have a discussion about that.
So, you know. Yeah. It's like if we were like I have friends who don't have jobs, or I have cousins who don't have jobs. Like, we'll do things sometimes, and then, like, you know, if we're hungry, and they obviously don't have money, they don't have a job. So, like, if we go get food somewhere, obviously I'm gonna pay. I can't just like be like, yeah, I want this, and then just leave them sit there while I eat. If you're with me, I probably would get you food.
So you're supporting somebody?
No. They don't live with me.
No, but you're supporting their food habit.
If they're with me. Well, when I get food.
Anyway. Moving on. I think you ought to get your mother something nice for Mother's Day.
I'll get her a $25 Amazon card and give it to her and tell her that she can never bring that up again because this is the replacement. Boom, right there. It only took a couple of years.
Oh, no. I think you already blew that.
Nope. Look, I already got her the card, and then I'll get her something else too. I'll get her two. I'll get her $50, and I'll be like, boom, there you go, $25 for the year. I didn't get you the $25 the card.
I bet she'll be happy this year.
Yeah, and then until she brings it up next year that I didn't get her a card that one year because I gave it away.
Well, it was probably not about the card. It was probably about what you did.
A generous act. I see. Okay. She has
not generous. No, because you could have went back to the store and got her a card when you were done. You said she wasn't there.
Yeah.
So you were going to have to go to your mom's house anyway. Why couldn't you have stopped on the way?
What do you mean? Oh, because here. I don't have anything to, like, draw. Okay, so here's my mom's house, okay? And here's my grandma's house. So you literally, like, doo-doo-doo, there's a house in between them. Like, there is no stop on the way to my mom's house. My grandma's house is on the way to my mom's house. Like, there's a house in between them.
Right.
So, like, I would have had to go all the way back to town and do a U-turn and go all the way back past my grandma's house to get to my mom's.
Well, you didn't have to do it right then.
Well, then it wasn't Mother's Day anymore.
Just that night.
Then I would have had to go back to my mom's house. It was, again, it's the same concept.
But how much time did you have?
Well, I didn't stop at my grandma's house, give them these cards, and say, all right, see ya.
No, but, I mean, what time of day was this?
Oh, I had to work.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, 5 to 7?
5 to 7. Okay, 7 o'clock. You're not in bed, clearly.
Yeah.
You could have came back and got the car.
And then had to go all the way back to my... Yeah, no. Yes. No.
Well, you're doing that when you're buying guns.
What do you mean?
Like, you can't bring a gun and just travel around town, but you have to take that back home, and then you come back to town.
Yeah, that's a firearm. There's a bit of a difference there.
No, but see, it's the point.
I want to take the gun home because, yeah, I mean, I just don't, I don't want to get pulled over with a gun in the back of my car. I mean, there's nothing illegal about it, I guess. I mean, I could do it. I just feel like if I, like, you know, get out of my car and there's a gun laying in my back seat, I feel like somebody's going to steal it.
Why do people need a lot of guns?
Why do people need a lot of guns?
Yeah.
I mean, different purposes.
For what?
Well, I mean, if I was going to go deer hunting, I'd probably use a 12-gauge. If I was going to go squirrel hunting, I'm probably going to use, like, a...
And how many times are you out hunting?
I hunt.
When?
Well, when hunting season starts. As a matter of fact, I was looking at when hunting season starts this coming year, and deer season starts September 26th, I do believe. So, when that starts, I'm on vacation that week, meaning I will be hunting that week.
And what do you do with the deer?
You eat it. What do you mean?
You eat it?
Yes, I eat deer. You think I'm just shooting it and be like, huh, got it, and then I leave it?
Some people do.
Yeah, well, that's terrible. Trophy hunting is bad. I could get behind that, yes. Trophy hunting's terrible.
So you believe in gun rules?
No.
Well, you don't like trophy hunting.
Yeah, but that's not a gun rule. That's a hunting rule.
You know, I was...
It's like killing something just to leave it there. What's the point in that? If I'm going to kill something, I'm going to eat it.
Well, not everybody does.
Well, yeah, yes, you're right.
A squirrel?
Yes, I've eaten squirrel.
Ugh.
I've eaten rabbit.
That's disgusting. But anyway, the point is, what do you make of the home remedies? Because I was thinking about Ozempic, talking about that. You know, people are into the home remedies now, too.
Yeah, I don't... Well, home remedies are okay, I guess, so long as they actually work. Some home remedies don't work.
What was the thing I got for Christmas one year? Castor oil.
Yeah, I was going to say some kind of oil.
Jeez. What a gift that was.
You're supposed to, like, rub it in or something. I don't remember what it was.
Put it on your belly button. Can you imagine?
Put it on your belly button.
It's my understanding that's what you were supposed to do with it.
Okay.
I don't know what I was supposed to do, but...
I don't know.
Give you an oily belly button.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
In that... What does that mean? Now, see, how whacked do you have to be to think that that's going to be a normal... some kind of preventative medicine?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that there's some kind of thought
and
process
then,
behind it.
And then that same person used to do, what was the, get in a cold shower. Turn the shower on as cold as you can get it, and jump in and jump out. And apparently that restarts your system.
I know people, I did it for a while, but just because I like honey. But I know people who used to eat like a teaspoon of honey, like every day, because it's good for you.
And then the
it's
one
like
that
an antibacterial and whatnot.
Well, one of the last time I spoke to this person, they were talking about grounding. Now, do you understand this grounding thing?
I do know what grounding is.
Okay, but what's your understanding of it?
So the Earth lets off like an electrical current, which is true. Okay.
Okay.
And so the theory goes that people have more problems than they should because we wear, like, rubber insole shoes, so we don't have, like, we're not, I don't know, like, apparently we're not connected to the earth or something, I don't know. So apparently if you, like, go out into, like, the grass or something without, like, your shoes and socks and you just, like, stand barefoot in the grass, it, like, reconnects you to earth, grounds you, as they say, so grounding, and apparently it's supposed to have some kind of positive health effects. But I did look into grounding at one point because that just sounded like a neat concept. All the benefits you get from grounding, you can get by just going and sitting in nature for an hour or two. So just go sit by the river and chillax for a while, and you'll get the same effects as grounding.
How long do you have to stand for this grounding?
I don't think you have to stand. You could, like, sit.
No, but how long?
You just have to be in contact.
Okay, so you go outside barefoot, and then what?
I mean, I don't know how long you're supposed to do. I mean, that's it. I mean, you just kind of
like
sit.
30 seconds back in. What?
No, I mean, I assume you have to like sit there for a while. It's basically just spending time outside without your shoes.
Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
Yes, it does.
See, and I'm supposed to take advice like that and pretend like that sounds sane. Oh yeah, I should try that.
They put things that I mean everything. Besides the benefits from it. I mean, I guess there are benefits from it, but it's no more benefit than just spending time outside would be. But like I said, the Earth does let off an electric current. And,
oh, good.
And, your body will, like, you know, pick up this current, but there's no real effects to it. You can just sit outside and enjoy nature, and it does the same thing.
But people believe this. Now, why do you think people believe this?
Because it does, like I said, I mean, like, you know, your body is driven by electrical currents. The Earth has electrical currents. So I guess they just put two and two together. I guess more like three
no,
and two
why
together.
Why would somebody
and made
believe
four.
That? Why would somebody live like that? Why would, like, this is your health. This is your,
Well, I mean, I wouldn't make that, like, my go-to medicine, I guess.
No, but I'm
I mean,
not,
it's just, like,
if
stress
you get to
relief.
The point, well, I, yes, see, but that's, get a good psychiatrist, too.
Not even.
Just it'll help you with this.
Just go, I just go sit by the river a lot. I like the river. Rivers are nice. You go
the
sit.
Scioto?
Yeah, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, you get sick off of that.
Well, I don't drink it.
No, just the smells.
I go sit by... Yeah, probably the Scioto.
Or the Olentangy?
Oh, it'd be the Olentangy.
Yeah,
that's even
worse.
Olentangy. I do believe. But yeah, I go sit there, and I just, like, watch the water and, you know, just chill.
But don't you think this whole new wave, whoop-de-doo medicine, is just kind of a placebo for people?
30 to 60 minutes daily.
See, 30 minutes, see? What's the difference? Sit outside, stand outside, whatever.
The longer you do it, I guess, the better it's allegedly supposed to be.
Can you imagine coming home to somebody who's outside in their bare feet, and they I can't come in yet, I'm grounding. See, right there, that's enough. Or in the morning, you hear them jumping in the cold shower. At night, you got to watch them put oil in their belly button. I mean, really, if you should get an award for living with this person. You would have to get some kind of award for just being around them. Maybe you're doing it, too. Maybe you're a psychopath, too.
What is the castor oil in the belly button supposed to do?
I don't know. I never understood any of it. Aloe vera plants or something like that. I don't know. Here we go. All holistic medicine started as ways to treat conditions that we've since been able to refine and hone with advancements in modern medical science by way of pharmaceuticals. Instead of using oils or plants or weird crystals, going to a doctor and getting up-to-date medicine that has been proven to work in clinical trials and decades of research is going to be preferred over the holistic approach. I agree.
Yes.
I think it's people who are afraid of medicine. There's a big fear.
Me, I'm afraid of medicine.
There you go.
I'd almost rather die than go to the doctors.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen.
Well.
So, yes, I believe people have, there is a genuine, white coat syndrome. There is a genuine fear of doctors.
You know, it's funny, because every time I go to the doctor, they tell me that my blood pressure's a little high, and I bet you it's just because every time I go to the doctor, I'm, like, stressed.
By the way, people want to pretend they have secret knowledge and know better than professionals. It's hubris. I think that, that person who does this stuff does this stuff. That's what it is.
Well, I don't think
But somebody, you know what, I think it was what I remember, and I hope I get this right. Somebody in their family got sick a few years ago, I think. Is what propelled this. And then all of a sudden, you know, modern medicine was not fixing the problem the way they thought it should. So that's where all this nonsense came from.
Well, you'll have that sometimes. I don't know what else to say. I mean, yeah.
They went nuts. They absolutely went insane. Now they're outside barefoot, grounding themselves, and they're putting oil in their belly button and jumping in cold showers.
Well, I mean, it is still, I mean, like, the whole honey thing is, I mean, that's true. I mean, like, honey's...
Listen, do what you want. I don't care.
Well, it's not as good as, like, I mean, like, you know how they make, like, antibacterial creams? I mean, obviously, the antibacterial creams, like, that's what they're designed for. That, like, they're, like, it's gonna be better than the honey. But honey, like, if you burn yourself or cut yourself and you don't, I mean, you could always just put a little bit of honey on it and then, like, put a Band-Aid over it. And apparently, antibacterial, it'll do the same thing.
Here's the holistic problem. Down the road,
it's not a burn, because
down the road, you're gonna find out that doesn't work. But you buy into it for such a long time, it becomes too late for medicine now to kick in. You know, that might have helped you.
Well, I wouldn't suggest you use holistic medicine over modern medicine.
But that's what they do. Why do you think they're using it so regularly?
Well, I mean,
they believe it's keeping them well.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I mean, like, if you have, like a cold or something, I'm sure there's some kind of holistic something you can do to, like, help you.
It all goes back to fear of death. That's what really this is all about.
Oh,
fear
yeah.
of death or fear of other people's death. Listen, it's coming, it's gonna happen, I'm sorry, whatever.
I guess. I mean, people don't want to die. I mean, that's fair enough.
Nobody wants to die, but sometimes you've got to wrap your mind around the fact that it is going to happen.
Well, yeah, you have to
and
die.
And amount of standing in your yard and bare feet or wiping oil on your belly button or jumping in a cold shower. Matter of fact, you're going to get to a certain age when you jump into that cold shower and you're going to slip and fall and bust a hip, then try to go stand in your yard and fix that.
Why are you taking cold showers?
That was supposed to reset your system, I think, was the reason I was given on that one.
Cold showers are bad for your health. But I do know that if you're having, like, heart problems, they can, like, dip your face in a bowl of ice water because it will, like, yeah, it'll, like, shock you into allegedly restarting your heart rhythm. And if that doesn't work, then I guess they, like, kill you and then restart your heart. Not, like, kill you, but they give you something that stops your heart and then your heart just kind of
I just
again.
Don't buy any of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good.
If I'm having a heart attack, I'm not going to get the cold water out and dump my face in a bottle of
cold water. No. It's like a regular heartbeat. If you're having a heart attack, no.
Go stand outside for a while. Get the oil.
But, I mean, yes, obviously modern medicine is going to work. I mean, holistic medicine is just ancient medicine. I mean, that's about it. Is it medicine that was used before we found modern medicine?
I just think some people's mind starts to deteriorate. But I think it's fear of aging. It's fear of death. It's that sort. Also, if somebody's sick and medicine is not curing it, you're probably getting upset. And if you have a fear of medicine, that's even a bigger problem.
You ever heard prop me up beside the jukebox?
Probably. Why?
By Joe Diffie.
It sounds familiar.
But anyways, there's a line in the song that says, I'm not afraid of dying, it's the thought of being dead. I think that's valid. The thought of dying, the thought of dying itself isn't terrible, but
I don't
being
know.
Dead, on the other hand, is a whole different thing.
No, see, I thought Woody Allen had it better. He said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Basically the same thing, I guess.
Well, no, I think it's the pain. Is it going to hurt? Nobody cares about being dead. You're dead, you're dead. Who cares? But the point is, you don't want to go through it. Because you don't know if it's going to hurt. You don't know what it's going to be like.
Well, I guess it depends on how you're dying.
I don't know. I've had some weird things happen when people are dying. Now, people can say, well, it's just whatever. But, you know, I've had other people in the room witness strange, strange things.
Sure. Yeah.
Like Nancy Reagan.
We just don't understand death, yeah?
I remember Ronald Reagan. You know, this is politic week, so we'll go back to this, even though it has nothing to do with politics. But Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's. And he'd had Alzheimer's for 10 years, 94 to 2004. And he was 94. And their daughter, Patty Davis, wrote a book. And I have this book. It's such a good book because she's writing about him from the time he starts to get Alzheimer's, basically through the early stages where he's aware that he's losing awareness. He's aware that he has it, and he's aware that he's losing it. And then into the stages where he doesn't realize he has it, but he's still functional. He still looks good. He can still talk. But he doesn't remember that you're his daughter anymore. He doesn't remember, you know, anything. You know, he can talk. It's a normal day. Every day's a new day.
Is he the one where I don't know who it was, but somebody went to see him in like a hospital or whatever, and he was just reading a book, and he was like,
no, it was his office.
Oh, at his office.
As I said, fully functional.
And well, but he was reading a book, and he was like, "What you're reading about?" And then, you know, he was trying to talk to him, and then he was like, "What you're reading about?" And he just kind of looks up and says, "A horse."
And looks back down. But this is a guy he'd known for years. Worked with him in the White House. Been his advisor for years. Didn't know who he was. But he could still go to the office every day. He could still read. He knew what he was reading about. He just had no memory of people anymore. Had no memory of anything. So it's a good book. But the end of that book, because then there comes a point where he basically is sick to the point where he does forget how to speak. And he does forget. He gets really out of it. And so it comes to the day he's going to die. And basically the doctors are saying he's 94 at that point. 93, something like that. And he's going to die. I mean, this is the end. And she says his eyes had not opened for days. And even in the last few years, that his eyes, which had been blue, had kind of started to turn gray, like sick people's do. And he really had no recognition in his eyes anymore, and, you know, just not well. And the last few days didn't open his eyes at all. And it got to be the time, and they were monitoring him. He was at home, obviously on hospice, and said around the bed were the daughter, the son, the wife, and a nurse. And they said, right before he died, he opened up his eyes, and for the first time in years, his eyes were blue. And they said, they focused in on the mother, his wife, focused right in on her, and then he closed his eyes and he died. Now, how does that happen? And everybody in that room said that's exactly what happened. Now, why? What is that?
Well, I mean, I can give you an answer, but I don't know if it's...
Well, go ahead.
I don't know if it'll be the right answer. I don't know. But it's kind of like the thing with the... You know how when, like, people die, there's, like, the whole thing where allegedly you see, like, the white light at the end of the tunnel? Now, they don't know for certain, but there's the whole theory that the white light at the end of the tunnel is basically just... I'm like I said, your brain, I mean, you run on, like, electrical currents. So it's just, like, your body using up the last of its electrical currents, and then it's kind of just, I mean, no more energy after that. I mean, you know, no more currents, no more machinery.
Yeah, but what would cause recognition? Why would your eyes open?
Why wouldn't your eyes open?
Because they've been closed. You're not well. Why not move your arm? I mean, I've heard that about a lot of people.
I mean, like, if I shock your brain when you're dead, I can make you move. I mean, I think it's probably something like that.
Okay, but I'm talking
just like a short circuit in the brain.
Well, I guess if you're trying to disparage it, that's what you go to. But the point is, I know a lot of people whose last act is opening their eyes when their eyes have not opened for a long time. And also,
I'm sure there's a medical reason.
Sure there's not, because you usually ask the person, why were they clear there for a minute? What was that? Because you think, in the room, you think, well, maybe this is they're turning around, because they look like they haven't looked in a long time. And I don't understand it.
Well, just because you don't understand it, and there are plenty of things we don't understand that have answers. We just haven't found them yet.
Mm. Or there are some things that just don't.
Well, I can get behind that, too. There are some things that just don't.
But that's the problem I have with atheism and agnosticism, is you're trying to find an answer to disprove it, because you so much don't want to believe. Now, people will say they do want to believe, but they really don't.
Why would you not want to believe in God?
About God.
Atheism. Atheism is inherently a disbelief in God.
No, it's a belief that nothing going on afterward. If you got a problem with religion, I think you got an even bigger problem in life.
No, I mean, theism is just religion. Atheism is just not religious.
Yeah, no, but listen, most people, like Glenn, his atheism is not a disbelief in religion. Matter of fact, he'll tell you many times he thinks religion is a good thing. His father was a Methodist minister. He didn't hate his father.
Well, just because
his belief is that nothing happens when you die. Nothing. Not based in religion, not based in anything.
Well, if it's based in religion, you probably believe something happens when you die. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, theism is just religion. Atheism is just religion.
You're getting hung up in the idea of things that aren't so. Again, Glenn would tell you that he thinks religion is a good thing. So then you would go say, Glenn, you can't be an atheist. But he'll tell you...
No. How does that... Atheists don't...
You're saying it's not the belief that religion is bad, or religion is non-existent, or it's not true.
I think it's not true.
Okay. So do you atheism...
I can't prove anything, but...
So do you... Atheism is the belief that religion is wrong.
No.
What
just,
is it?
Just not true.
Okay, not true. So it's not... has nothing to do with death.
I mean... By proxy, I guess.
No.
I mean, religion has to do with death.
What? No, not always.
Well, not always. I mean, I guess in theory, yes. I mean, I guess. So
you could be an atheist and believe something happens when you die. You go somewhere.
Could, I guess.
You think an atheist would say that?
I mean, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, you have to, like, I mean, there would be, like, you'd have to believe in, like, a spirit and all kinds of other things. I mean,
I don't think that's true at all. I think that's completely backwards.
I mean, I'm sure there are atheists who believe in spirits and whatnot. And, like, you know, the afterlife.
So what's an agnostic? I'm not sure about religion.
Yeah.
No.
Well, an agnostic is like nothing can or will ever be proven about the existence of God or gods, therefore I shall take no stance.
So you think that's...
If you are agnostic about something, you just don't have a stance on it. You just don't have a stance on religion. Could be true, could not be true. I don't have a stance.
I don't think that's how people mean it, but okay.
I think that's how people mean it.
I don't think so. Because I think it all comes down to death. That's when the conversations come up. You say, what do you think happens when you die? They go, well, I'm an atheist.
I ask about... I've never had anybody... Look, I've talked to a lot of people about what they think happens when you die, and I've never had anybody start that conversation with, well, I'm an atheist.
Oh, I have.
Well, that's...
Many interviews, that's the way it goes.
I mean, it's just... When you die, I mean, I don't know what atheism has to do with it. Atheism is just not religion.
There are agnostic atheists, so there you go. That couldn't be in your world. If that's what you're saying.
Agnostic atheists.
Yeah. See, I think you're getting tied up again, like last week, in the words. No, people, when they're saying they're an atheist, are saying they have no belief that anything is going to happen when you die. Because there are plenty of atheists that have beliefs. They have a belief system. It may not just be a religious belief.
Okay, well,
I don't know why you think that's so tied into religion.
What?
Atheism.
I mean, atheism. They do not hold a belief in any gods. Agnosticism. They maintain that it is impossible to have absolute knowledge regarding the existence or non-existence of gods.
Right.
Agnostic atheism is a person who does not believe in the existence of any gods, but does not claim to know for certain that no gods exist.
Right.
So I guess in theory, I'm an agnostic atheist.
But gods are
not...
How do you know for certain? But gods are not religion in the term that we're talking about religion.
What are gods, then?
Because, okay, for example, Judaism is a religion,
mm-hmm.
but they don't believe you go anywhere when you die. And so they're not of that belief, so that makes no sense. So you can't say that Jewish people are atheists.
Isn't the Torah the Old Testament?
Not exactly.
Okay, well, I'm not Jewish, and I've not done a whole lot of looking into Judaism.
Well, I've talked to many rabbis, and I think it's fascinating, and rabbis, the whole point
But isn't it just more like,
they believe your goal is to have the best life here on Earth. That's it. Live your best life here. They don't believe in an afterlife. They obviously aren't believing in gods that are doing anything. So, you wouldn't say they're atheists, though.
Well, okay, yeah, but okay, but by that, I mean, but Buddhism is a religion. I mean, there's no god to Buddhism,
right? So Buddhism is atheism. You said non-belief in gods. That's what an atheist is.
But religion has to do with spiritual.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you can't say an atheist is just somebody who doesn't believe in gods.
No spiritual aspect. Like an atheist, an atheist usually is more likely to just claim that we're like mechanistic. We're machines kind of thing. And when you die, it just lights off. There's no more, like, you know, what happens when a machine gets powered off? It's just not there. It's dead. It's off.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It comes down to what happens when we're done. That's where we started this.
Okay, well, replace the word gods with spiritual, or spirits, I guess, however you want to throw that word in there.
I don't know what the point of this is anyway. You brought it up. No, I didn't. I said, I think that it's the same conversation that atheists and agnostics have. They want to disprove that anything happens. That is their goal. Their goal is to find the medical explanation to everything because they do not want to believe in religion. They do. Now they say they would like to believe in it, but they've got to have absolute hard facts on it. But they don't have to have hard facts the other way. So, well, one day somebody will figure out why that happened. Well, that's about
because
the same
there
as...
there is no, like... I mean, like... Okay, by the way, it's like the whole, like... Man, I feel like I'm going to rehash a whole thing that we had before.
Well, we don't have that much time.
What was the thing you just said? There was a thing I had to say, but now I don't remember. I don't remember.
Huh?
I don't remember. What'd you say?
I don't remember. You were talking about something about before.
Yeah, I was going to... I don't remember what it was, though. But, no, yeah, so, just... I don't know. The last thing you said had to do with, like, atheists have to disprove? Or?
I think, yes, if somebody does not have a belief system, they are more inclined to want to disprove something.
Because it's like a logic standpoint. What's more likely? That a dude was resurrected and died for your sins?
I'm not talking about that.
I'm not
saying the reason somebody opens up their eyes is because there's
so, if you would like another word for atheist that doesn't sound so strong. I mean, like naturalist maybe. Everything has a natural explanation.
People call themselves atheist. I don't mind that. All I'm saying is
it basically just boils down to it's more likely than not that this had a natural explanation than that there's some miracle
that
happened.
I think you're missing my point completely. When I'm talking about the eyes-opening thing with Ronald Reagan, I'm not saying that that has anything to do with religion. I'm not saying that it has anything to do with anything except the fact that it's odd.
Okay,
something is happening, and there's no explanation for it, and it's weird. And I think it certainly gives you an open mind to things. Now, it's not an open mind to go to evangelical church. But it could be a lot of... I don't think his daughter is a religious person. It's just something strange that happens.
And I'm not opposed to the... I mean, we might very well come to find out that there are just things that have no answer. There are no solutions.
That's what I'm saying. If you want
But to even then, I think it's just more likely than not that that's just kind of the way it is.
What?
Whatever it is.
But that's what I'm saying.
If we come to find out that there are things that
That's why atheism to me is as offensive to people as religion is to people who don't have any kind of belief system. Because what they're both trying to do is tell you that I know and you don't. And I don't think everything is that black and white in life. I think there's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray in life. And the eye-opening thing to me is a gray area.
I don't know. It's just more likely than not, I guess.
I think that if you're a negative by nature person, if you're a pessimist, you're more apt to want to disprove people of things. Your goal is to try to knock pillars over.
No.
If you are an optimistic person, you're more likely to say, maybe that happened for a good reason.
Okay. Isn't the biblical whole thing about how we came about that, like, God formed us out of clay, and then, I know, you said that it's not specifically religious, but, like, isn't it, like, that God formed us out of clay and then, like, breathed life into us or something, breathed the spirit into us? Okay, but, like, then all of a sudden the whole theory of evolution came along, okay? And, by the way, I would like to say that we just call things theories now, because we had Newton's laws of physics, and Newton's laws of physics changed with Einsteinian laws of physics, okay? So they didn't really change, they were just added to. Einsteinian laws of physics were just in addition to Newtonian laws of physics, okay? But we just stopped calling things laws because they kept, you know, advancing. So we were like, well, let's stop calling them laws because, you know... it could change. We could find something new to add to it. And the theory of evolution is just as much a law as Newton's laws of physics were.
So why do you know all this?
Know all what?
Because you've researched it.
Yes.
Because you're looking for an answer.
Yeah.
Right. But there is no answer. And there will never be an answer. And that's why this has been going on for years and years and years. But if you tend toward the pessimistic side, you're going to tend toward the side that disproves. If you're more of an optimistic person, you're going to tend toward the side that proves that there is something. The truth of the matter is, nobody's going to be able to say, I told you so, because nobody's coming back. So it really doesn't matter. And that's, again, you use, like, that's why your whole bargain idea is insane when people hear it. And nobody who's heard that has never thought it wasn't insane.
I think you're just, it's because
they think it's insane. Because what you're saying is...
Pascal's bargain.
Yeah,
by the
right,
way,
right,
yes.
Right. So, because what you're saying is, and you think it sounds perfectly logical, that, you know, the belief system just to believe just because you can't disprove is a bad thing. And people go, well, why would that be a bad thing? If it makes you a happier person, if it improves your health, If you don't want to kill yourself because somebody dies close to you, if you're not wheelchair bound and you believe there's a better place, even if there's not, if it kept you going, what's the harm in that? Just the fact that you were wrong, and you won't even know you're wrong.
Okay,
we don't even know that you're wrong.
Okay, Pascal's bargain or wager, I know it's got a couple of names. Pascal's,
1 minute.
It's basically just if you, like, it doesn't apply to people who already believe. It applies to non-believers.
Right.
And the argument is if you don't believe, you should just believe anyways, because right. If you are wrong,
you won't know.
Yeah, you won't know anyways. If you are right, then you'll know.
Right.
It's just intellectually dishonest.
Do I really care in this moment if I'm intellectually dishonest?
We don't know.
Oh, that's a big
okay. Well, okay. Well, I'm
dead.
Well, we don't know that there isn't a flying spaghetti monster out in space somewhere. So maybe we should just all believe in the flying spaghetti monster.
But that's not
because the flying spaghetti monster.
Wait, let me get in here.
If the flying spaghetti monster comes to a planet that doesn't believe in the flying spaghetti monster, then it'll wipe off the Earth right there. So it's just better to believe than not to believe.
That's not what we're talking about, though. We're talking about something that everybody is going to go through, and it does impact people's health, and it does impact people's mood, and it does cause people to commit suicide, and it does cause things to happen, suicide bombings, that maybe would not happen if people had a different take on it.
I guess it just depends on your perspective. I mean, like, if I believe that when I died, it was just nothing for the rest of forever, okay? Why would I kill myself for any reason? Like, now, like, this is the better place. This is where I'd rather be. This is the better place. There is no better place after this, because it's nothing. It's nothing after this.
If you believe that.
Okay. This is the better place.
But
there's nothing else.
But that's not true.
If you don't believe.
I don't think I don't think it's black and white like that. Just because somebody dies who you cared about doesn't mean there aren't people who you care about who are still here. Now, you might be unhappy that they're gone, but you might be happy that other people are still here, and you might need to stick around and raise your kids or take care of an old adult or something like that. I don't think it's that black. It's not like good, bad, right, wrong. Nothing's like that.
Sure.
That's better. This is worse. I don't think that's right.
Suicide bad.
I can tell you that people who are on their deathbed and know they're not going to get better and are dying, this probably ain't the greatest place for them. But they don't commit suicide.
Where else are you going to go?
Exactly. They might believe there is a place to go.
Well, suicide's a sin.
Exactly. So they don't do it. So if that causes those people from committing suicide, that's probably a good thing.
Like I said, if you didn't believe, wouldn't the logic be there is nowhere other than here? This is where I'd rather be. So even if you lived a miserable life and you didn't believe, this is it. This is all there is.
But what if it's not?
It just seems more likely than not that it is.
If you're a pessimist. I always want to believe the better.
You have to believe in miracles and all kinds of things.
No, it's not a miracle. How many times in life has it looked like the bad thing is going to happen? But turns out it didn't happen. I know people who walk around all day thinking the bad thing's going to happen. It's always going to be the bad.
As a matter of fact, they even have the Large Hadron Collider in France, I think it's in France, has even come to a... They had a discovery on potentially, at least, you know, why there's anything in the universe as opposed to nothing. Now they had to manually...
There's nothing left in this program. I know. But we'll be back at 8:15
tonight.
Goes
by fast.
8:15 to 10 tonight. Tune in. Don't miss it. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Bean, what kind of person is he?